the right view of who He is, boy, it can really change our lives. This evening, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're going to start off, and we're going to read the beginning portion of the chapter. And the title of tonight's message is Taming the Giant of Temptation. Taming the Giant of Temptation. Now, the giant of temptation, you say it's a giant. Yes, it is something huge. Yes, it's something that arrives all day. It doesn't matter what time of night or day. It can come at any time. And while we may make some attempts to move away from temptations, usually we leave some type of forwarding address. Sometimes we let the devil know what bothers us and let us know we hang around things that can tempt us. Preparing a defense against this powerful giant is not like just crawling up in a sleeping bag and putting your zipper around it. That's not going to help you. Hiding yourself in a cocoon is not going to make the temptation go away. But instead, we must find a way to deal with living in a tempting world. We must find a way to have a victory over temptation. Amen. Because temptation is something we all face. None of us should feel guilty about being tempted. To be honest with you, we're all tempted. Amen. Your pastor is tempted. Kids, your parents are tempted to do wrongs. Parents, your kids are tempted to do wrong at times. That's the devil's good at what he does. He tempts us. Now, I know some of you think tempting, you're talking about the big sins like drinking or killing or adultery and things like that. Temptation comes in many different forms and many different ways. And temptation is a continual fork in the road. You're out there and you're trying to serve the Lord, and the devil says, here, go this way a little bit. Go this way. Fork off from what God desires for you. It's something you see over and over. You say, well, what is temptation? It is a tantalizing, meaning something is a desirable opportunity to do wrong. It's a tantalizing opportunity to do wrong. It's when the devil takes something and makes it look so good and says, you just got to have it. Now, different things cause different people to be tempted. You think about all this, I don't know how many fishermen, I know we have a few fishermen in the church here, probably more than I know. They use all different type of lures and different type of baits because they're trying to tempt certain type of fish. It's amazing that one fish you use one certain lure for, and another fish you use a different one. And it's because of the fact that certain things tempt certain fish, but won't tempt other fish. Same thing with us. The devil uses certain things to tempt us. To me, I have the privilege of having a testimony of never ever drinking alcohol. You could sit a beer or vodka or whatever else you want to call it, put that thing right there in front of me, and the devil says, here, have at it. No interest at all. You can even go as far as saying, and some of you are coffee drinkers. I'm not a coffee drinker. You could say you have up here, you have this fancy cup from Starbucks, and you got this cream in there, and you got this coffee in there, and this mixture, and you have some type of creation they make. Once again, they're really expensive. Some of you might say, boy, that sounds really good. Me, I'd rather go drink water out of the water fountain than drink that. And if you ever drink the water out of a water fountain, it's not very good. So, but the devil can't tempt me with that. You know what? You know, but you put a nice ice cold Mountain Dew up here, nice can or a 20 ounce or a 2 liter of Mountain Dew sitting up here, that would be tempting to me. Why is that? Is that because there's certain things that draw us away? There's certain things that entice us, and there's other things that do not entice us. There are certain things that would cause people to be tempted to sin, and there's other things that won't bother somebody else. That's why we tell you to be on guard. That's why we try to teach our ladies and our women in the way that they dress, you know, be on guard. Try to guard the virtue and the testimony of the men that are here. And men, you know, that's why we try to teach you to, you know, treat women like ladies, because, you know, it might not bother certain ones, but other ones, you never know. That might give them the temptation to become angry or upset. You know, we need to make sure that we're living for God all the time. And we need to learn how to fight this temptation. We need to learn how to fight the giant of temptation or tame the giant of temptation. There's some things I think it's important that we understand. Three things tonight we're going to understand. And first thing I think we need to understand is the enemy. But before we get to that, let's look here at the passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're going to start reading some from the beginning. The main portion we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we'll give a little insight of leading up to those verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. You know, once again, Paul's just laying out there, look, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know something. And as a pastor, it's my job to inform you of things. It's my job to tell you things. It's not always easy to tell you. It's not always easy to talk about things, but there are things that need to be dealt with because I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant does not mean you're stupid. Ignorant means that you're uninformed. He wants you to realize. He wants you to see this and understand this. I would not have you be ignorant. How that all our fathers, now once again, Paul is a Jew. He is referring to the Jews, and most of the Christians at this point in time are Jews, but is in reference to the Israelites. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. What you see in verses 1 through 4 is a description of the spiritual liberty that the nation of Israel had. They all had the same opportunities. They all had the same privileges. They all followed this underneath the same cloud. They all went through the same sea. They all drank of the same spiritual rock. They all had the same chance. And it's their spiritual liberty, their Christian liberty that we call today. This is their chance. They were all taught the same. Some went falling after idols. Others tried to tempt Christ, tempt God. Others remained faithful. But that's what it's talking about here. It's the spiritual liberty. But in verse number 5, it says, but with many of them, God was not pleased. You know, that's a sad thing, but that's the truth. With even the family of God that today, we have a spiritual and Christian liberty that we live under, that we have a right to choose what we want to do. But if we're going to choose to do what's right and live right, that's what God gives us a choice to do what's right. It's still sin and it's wrong, we do wrong. But many of them, God, so of this nation, of this congregation that he did great and mighty works and great and mighty things and appeared to them in a cloud, came down on Mount Sinai, did all those wonderful things, still many of them, he was not well pleased. And I wonder what that percentage is today with God when he looks down on his family today, his sons and daughters of faith, the ones he has saved and put them on the way to heaven. Is he pleased with your life? That should be, remember, if he is Lord of our life and we recognize him as God of the universe, we should care about what he thinks and what pleases him. But so often we're so interested in pleasing everyone else. Many times everyone else doesn't really care about us, but we want to make sure that we don't offend or hurt, and we just want to make everybody else happy, that we do not please the Lord. And we got to stop that. We got to say, look, if he's my Lord, he's my master, that's who I want to please. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by learning how to tame the giant of temptation. Verse number 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now here's what he's saying. These were our examples. These people beforehand, they were our examples that this is what the lust of the flesh is going to do for you. This is what giving in to temptation is going to cause to happen. Look what it says in verse number 7. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And it's talking about when Moses was up on the mountain with the Lord and that they made that golden calf and how they did wicked things. Verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Can you believe that? 23,000. And neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were not destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And once again, verses 1 through 10 there's messages in there, but that was not the focal point tonight. That's just showing you that this is where the lust of the flesh will take you. This is where the temptation is where you're headed. And that's why he says in verse number 11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Those are all written and recorded for us to learn from them so we don't experience the same thing. And in verse number 12, it's the beginning of the text message. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And what it's saying there is, look, Christian, if you think you got it all covered, if you think you got everything figured out, you think that nothing bothers you, nothing can tempt you, nothing can get at you, that you are some type of spiritual giant, that you're some type of spiritual Superman, that you think that nothing would ever affect you. And people think that today. Some people think that they cannot sin. Some people think they've got it all figured out. Nothing's going to get them. And you know what? He says, take heed, because that's when you're going to fall. That's when you're going to have the mistake. That's when you're going to have a problem. When the preacher gets up and preaches his heart out, and you hear it, and he applies things to your life, he says, oh, none of that applies to me. I'm good. I'm okay. Nothing. I'm perfect. See, none of us are perfect. And when we begin to think that we do not need to take heed, and when we begin to think that we do not need to watch out for temptation, that's when we need to take extra special notice. Because that's when the devil is setting you up for a fall. Let's look what it says in verse number 13. It says, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You know what that's saying? Is that temptation that's there and that the devil presents you with, you're like, man, nobody's been tempted like me. I just have to have it. There's no way I can live without that. No one should be able to have to stand and be able to resist that great temptation. But the Bible's saying there, no, you're wrong. We've all faced, maybe not the same temptations, but to the same degree of the temptation. And someone has faced that temptation you're facing today, and they have a choice. Am I going to serve God, or am I going to fall to the lust of the flesh? And continue here what it says. It says, but God is faithful. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that, you know, when God, when I confess my sins, He's faithful. I'm thankful when I know that I'm being tempted and it feels like I have to sin, that He is faithful. What is He faithful at here in verse number 13? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able? What's it saying there is that you do not have to sin. He is not going to put something in your life or allow something to be put in your life that you cannot overcome. He will always give you a way of escape. You do not have to give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can have an escape through God. That's what it says here. It says, but will with temptation also make a way escape that ye may be able to bear it. You can bear the temptation. No matter how strong it might seem, no matter how much of a feeling and the pulling of the flesh is, the Bible says you can find a way to escape in God, and you can bear it. Verse number 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. I want you to get this tonight. We're going to look at some different ways to try to tame the giant of temptation. Now, it is something that we all face, something we all go against. So don't shut me off and close your mind saying, oh, that's a message for so-and-so across the room. If you're saying that you're not tempted, boy, maybe you're just involved in sin and then you're just not even fighting it anymore. And so I want you to be encouraged. We are all going to face temptation in our life. Because if you're a believer, devil's after you. Devil wants to hurt you. Devil wants to take you out. He's upset that you're going to heaven, so he's going to do whatever he can to damage the name and testimony of Jesus Christ. So the encouragement today is, let's learn how to deal with this temptation, since we all face it. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I wish I wasn't tempted. I wish that the devil didn't have the opportunity, Lord, but I am so thankful that you are faithful, Lord, that you give us a way out, and Lord, that you help us, Lord, in our time of need. Lord, speak to our hearts about how to tame these temptations and how to have victory in our Christian life and not feel like we have to sin. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to understand, like I said, there's three things I want you to understand. First thing I want you to understand is I want you to understand the enemy. I want you to understand where temptation comes from. Temptation doesn't come from those wicked people on TV that are trying to get you to do wrong. Now, they're a part of what the devil's using. But yes, temptation isn't the ladies that dress that you see out there that's causing you to have wrong thoughts. Ladies, the temptation isn't the great sales at the store that trying to cause you to spend money you don't have. You know, the temptations come from the devil. You know, this helps me. I don't know if it helps you, but this helps me. When I think about when I'm choice to sin, when I'm tempted to go after my own flesh and do the things I want to do, say the things I want to say, act the way I want to act, you know what? when I'm tempted, it helps me to remember that those temptations are coming from the devil. God does not tempt us to do evil. And because we know that, and we see that in James chapter 1, it helps me to understand that the one who wants to destroy me, the one who wants to devour me, is the one that's sending the temptation. He's trying to hurt me. He's not trying to help me. He's not trying to lift me up. He's not trying to make things better for me. He's not trying to do things for my benefit. He doesn't care anything about me. He doesn't love me. All he wants to do, as the Bible says, he's a roaring lion looking whom he may devour. He's trying to destroy me. He's trying to destroy my testimony. And because of that, that helps me to face temptation that says, I don't got to do that. I don't have to do that sin. I don't have to live like that because the devil's the one that's presenting that to me. That's not a ministry that God's trying to give me and show me. That's not something the Lord's trying to give me to lift up and to be able to do the things God wants me to do because he loves me and wants to help me, wants to see my family grow, wants to see my family work. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to make a mockery of my family. He wants to make a mockery of my marriage. He wants to do whatever he can to destroy it because he is a liar. He is the father of lies. And everything he presents to you and puts out to you like it's a golden apple that you just got to have. It's a lie. It's a lie. So I want you to understand your enemy, first of all. I want you to understand how he works a little bit. Because if we can understand the enemy and understand some of the things that he does, then that can help us face it. It's so much easier to understand the enemy you're fighting against than to just go after it cold turkey. First thing I want you to think is our understanding enemy, our enemy is subtle. Our enemy is subtle. What does that mean? He's artful. He's cunning. He's not. He doesn't play fair. He masquerades as a subtle serpent to Eve. You know, the devil is not going to come and try to tempt me with the cappuccinos of the world or the beers of the world because those aren't things that tempt me. The devil is going to try to do what he can to get into my heart and life and let his demons and little imps go around and get into my heart and my life, watch what I do, and see what tempts me, and then bring that to my heart and my mind. He doesn't play fair. There's a story about in 1896, Norman Kidd McCoy was a welterweight boxing champion. In one of his fights, he learned that his opponent was deaf. And what McCoy finally, when he discovered this, nearing the end of the third round, McCoy stepped back and dropped his gloves and pointed to the opponent's corner, pretending like the bell had rung. And when the opponent began to turn, he hit him with a powerful blow, which knocked him out, and McCoy won the fight. You might say, that's disgusting. That's unfair. He shouldn't have done that. That's what the devil's trying to do with you. He's not playing fair. He's not on the same avenue. He doesn't play by the same rules. Christian, you need to understand your enemy when he comes to these temptations in your life. Maybe you might center yourself and try to focus yourself and say, guess what? Maybe God has sent this. If it's contrary to the Bible, God hasn't sent it. The devil's dressing up to make it look like it is that way. Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. And don't let the devil deceive you in making you think he doesn't play fair. We need to be wise enough ourselves to know all the tricks that Satan will try to use. Yes, and how he'll try to kick us down. Yep. And he's good at it. Once again, you look around here tonight. There's people that aren't here tonight that used to be here. You know why? It's because the devil didn't play fair. The devil took their weakest spots. The devil looked at the things that they struggled with the most about. You say, well, that's just not fair. The devil doesn't play fair. Amen. But thankfully, we got a God who is faithful. Amen. That always gives us a way of escape. Even if it's our weaknesses, even if it's something we struggle with, God says, look, I can help you here. Next thing I want you to understand about the devil is our enemy is content to operating slowly. Our enemy is content to operating slowly. You think about it. In verse number 12, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know what? The devil was willing to step back and watch in order to have a good victory. You think about the different people in the Bible who did really well and then fell because of some little thing. Think about David. David, when the time came when he was supposed to go to war, what happened? He stayed home. He wasn't supposed to be there. And because of that, he was tempted. Think of the great men of the Bible that fell to the temptation just because Satan was willing to wait for his time to strike. David probably thought nothing could hurt him. He's sitting on his throne. Everything's good. He's leader. He's king. God was subduing all his enemies. No problems. he was not taking heed. He did not do what he was supposed to do. And because of that, what happens? He falls. And then, because he fell, he covers up his sin and he falls again. The devil doesn't play fair. The devil tempts you with things that he knows is going to try to distract you. I'm going to encourage you tonight. He is willing to be slow and content. You might be messing around with something that you don't think is hurting you. You might be looking at something that you shouldn't be looking at, having a friendship that you should not be having. You might be spending the way you're not supposed to be spending. You might be not reading your Bible as much as you should, praying as much as you should. And you say, it's not bothering me. I'm still good. I still have my testimony. I'm still going to church. I still got my family. The devil can just wait and wait and wait to the moment where he'll strike and he'll try to harm you. And he'd rather have a big hit than just some little thing. Remember, the devil's willing to wait slowly. That's why we got to be on guard. That's why the Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant. What does that mean? It means we need to take notice. We need to be on guard all the time. And I tell you, outside sometimes in the middle of the night, there's deer out there. And it's really cool when you come up and you pull in the driveway and sometimes there's deer in your front yard and they run around, they run to the field. As long as they don't hit your car, it's cool. Well, I tell you, sometimes I stay up late on Saturday nights or I get up early on Sunday mornings. And one Saturday night, I was coming up. Actually, it was probably Sunday mornings, pretty early. I was going home and I opened up that back door, those glass doors. I was going to walk home. And there was one really big buck out in our yard and two does that were there. And they just stopped and looked at me. And I knew that if I started to walk towards them, that buck could come at me, and I probably couldn't take that buck on very good. I didn't have a gun in my hand, didn't have anything. So I just kind of went in there and I opened the door back up and sat on the other side of the door and started banging to try to get them to run away, and they ran away. But I tell you, on my way home, you know what I did? I was really, really careful when I was walking home to make sure those deer wasn't coming back. I was trying to be extra careful that those deer didn't come. Now, don't get me wrong. I was walking very quickly because, in fact, I didn't want those deer to come after me. I didn't want that buck to come after me. He says, Pastor, you're scared. I says, yes, I was scared because I didn't want to get hurt.
That's right.
And it's the same thing, Christian. If we're walking in our Christian life, we need to be walking circumspectly. We don't need to be listening to our flesh and our mind saying, oh, it's okay if you do this, and it's okay if you do that. We need to walk with the purpose, soberly and vigilantly, that we're not going to let our adversary, the devil, have a chance. I didn't want to let those deer have a chance at me. And we should not let the devil have a chance. How do we do that? We understand our enemy. Next thing I want you to understand is that our enemy is calculating with his proportions. He's calculating with his proportions. We don't have time, but we'll go back to the story of Eve. You know, if the devil walked up to Eve, slithered up or walked up, however you want to look at it, as a snake, a subtle serpent, and said, God's a liar, Eve would have said, yeah, right, and walked away. But that's not what he did. What did he do? He walked up and then the first thing he says, he got Eve to question God. He says, yea, hath God said, you can go back and read it sometime. He's subtle. He doesn't go up there and say, God's a liar, he's trying to take your fun away. No, what he does, he says, yea, hath God said. He got her there. He got her to questioning God. And then he started saying, you won't die. Once he realized that he had her there, he says, you will not surely die. He says, God knows when you eat of the fruit, you'll become as the gods. And so he didn't come right out and say, God's a liar. He's not going to be able to come out to you and say, God is trying to hurt you. That's the reason why you shouldn't go to that church. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to get you to say, well, I know how I feel. Does God really mean that? I know how my heart is telling me, but, and we begin to question what is direct, common sense things out of the Bible. Things that we see clearly, and the principles that are taught, and we begin to question them. And when we begin to question them, you know what happens? We end up taking the fruit because we think we know more than God. That's what Eve did. Eve won it. She says, I know more. I want to know more. And we also think that how he worked in proportions. His plan is to get you little by little by little. You know, if you go back, amazing what TV was like many years ago. You know, back many years ago, I remember when they had the first curse word on TV. That was a long time ago. And I remember how it was a big deal. You know, we you never ever watch that show. That's garbage. You know what? Little by little, we watch the transition of today that there is cursing all the time. And the sad thing is, little by little, we've let that get into our hearts so we can sit and watch it and not even bother us. He's proportions. He's trying to get you little by little to watch, to be, and do. Remember, you got to be careful there what you're part of. Now, once again, that's between you and God, what you watch and what you listen to and what you hear. But if it's changed over the last 20 years, the devil's setting you up. And you got to take heed lest you're going to fall. Last thing I want you to think about when it comes to our enemy, he is crafty. He is crafty with his packaging. He is crafty with his packaging. What do you mean? It means he wraps it up and makes it look good. And I'll just use this one example about the liquor ads, the hard drink ads. And what do they show you on TV? They show you some type of supermodel, and then they show you probably this lame guy that this supermodel will never talk to, but once you grab the beer, the supermodel will turn around and talk to you then, because you got the beer in your hand. They don't show you the smashed up cars. They don't show you somebody throwing up in the gutter. They don't show you making decisions and doing things that you wish that you would have never even done because your body was taken over by the alcohol and liquor. They don't show you all those things. They show you how the great time it is when you're drinking it down. But because if they showed you the smashed up cars of the children that were killed because they're drunk drivers, they wouldn't sell their product. They would say, the people would turn away from it. Maybe we should get some commercials out there about that and show them commercials about what liquor does. But, this devil's the same way. He's not going to show you the end. He's going to show you what's the good part, what is the enjoyable part. Don't get me wrong. There is pleasure in sin for a season. There is some fun. I never drank, but I've heard that people say that alcohol that you take the first time, you probably don't like it very much, but it gives you some type of buzz that calls you to feel good. I'm not saying that it's something that is, I'm saying it's wrong because of the way it leads and what happens to it. The Bible speaks about that. But, you know, the devil's not going to wrap up all the things he's going to tempt you with and says, here, this is going to destroy your family. You're going to say, I'm going to flee from that. I'm going to get away from it. But over here, he can say, this is something that you could do that wouldn't really hurt your family. In the end, what's he trying to get to? He's trying to get to your family. This can hurt your, you know, over here, when you talk about your church, he's not going to say, hey, you do this and it's going to destroy your church. You're going to cause it to rip apart. He's going to come over here and say, here, it doesn't matter if you disagree. It doesn't matter if you talk bad about the pastor. Everybody does it. He's going to say, you know, there's other people that feel the same way. Go ahead. Or it doesn't matter if you gossip. It doesn't matter if you try to cause disputes among the brethren. It doesn't matter if you try to cause divisions. It's okay. You have a right. But devil's not looking to have your interests taken to heart. Devil could care less about you. What's he trying to do? He's trying to ruin the church. So we got to be careful here. We need to understand some things. Devil's not there to be your friend. He could care less if you're happy. To be honest with you, he'd care less. He's a roaring lion. He's looking. When the lion goes out there and devours an animal, he doesn't say, I want to make sure you're happy about this before I destroy you. He doesn't do that. That's ridiculous. And that's the devil, is your enemy. We need to understand our enemy. Second thing we need is understand God's ability. We need to understand God's ability. And I think most of us know this and understand this, but in 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does that mean? God is greater than the devil. The devil might give you temptations that you feel like you cannot conquer. The devil might show you things that you feel like you cannot overcome. But God is greater than the devil. He is greater than that's what in the world. And if God says here in verse number 13, he can give you a way of escape, and then God is faithful, you need to look for that way of escape. And the way of escape can be memorizing scripture. The way to escape means we can learn about some different things, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But also in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I know we spend a lot of time about the enemy and understanding the enemy, But we need to understand God. We're not going to spend as much time about this, but God is able to help you. God is able to let your body be yielded to things that are right. You do not have to sin. You do not have to give in. I don't care how much the resistance is. I don't care how much the pull is. God will give you a way of escape. You need to look for that way of escape. It doesn't matter how long you've been involved in it. It doesn't matter how much you're into it. It doesn't matter how many times you've looked at it. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard about it. God can help you get out of it. He can. You can base that off the scripture of that word. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. If it was easy, anybody would do it. But to live godly, God can help you get out of it. But you've got to have that desire to live godly. Last thing I want you to understand, not only your enemy, not only God's ability, I want you to think about your responsibility. Understand your responsibility. The Bible teaches us things that we can put as safeguards in our lives. And we need to understand this. First thing, there's four of these, is making no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. And the Bible says in Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What does that mean? Provision means that there's forethought. That means think ahead of time whether or not something is going to tempt me. And if something's going to tempt me, do not do something that's going to cause you to tempt. The Bible says in Proverbs, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and goes right to it. No. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and he thinks about it as he goes. No, he says the prudent man foreseeth the evil and what does he do? He hideth himself. He says he hideth himself. But the simple pass on, simple means the one that does not have understanding, pass on and are punished. We need to learn to fight against temptation. How do we fight against temptation? We do not give ourselves, our flesh, any provision to be able to fight against it. Think about it. We all know a little story. I've said it before. Mom hears a little rattle out in the kitchen. Mom says, Willie, what you doing out there? Willie's got his hand in the cookie jar and he says, I'm fighting temptation, Mom. You know, that's not where you fight temptation at, is it? You don't put your hand in the cookie jar and fight it then. You don't go to the places that tempt us and start fighting then. If you got alcohol as a problem, you don't go to the bars. Well, you don't go to the bars anyway. You don't go to the parties that serve alcohol. You don't sit around people who drink. You stay away from the aisles in the Walmart. Go to the other aisles. Go up one aisle, go up the other side if that's something that tempts you. Stay away from it. The Bible says that we're not even supposed to look at the stuff. I still don't see how people can justify drinking it when they can't look at it, but whatever. That's something. That's a whole other message. But we need to understand we do not give any provision for our flesh. We give no provision for our flesh. Gentlemen, if you have a problem with a thought life, and most men do, don't go to places where women aren't dressed right. Don't watch things where things are not going to be dressed right. Don't look at things. Don't go to places. Don't go by the magazine racks because you know there's trash in the magazine racks. Don't be anywhere near where you might be something where you could be tempted. You know, if we know what tempts us. The devil knows, we know. Don't make any provision for your flesh. Now, I know I'm saying big things, but you know what you're talking about there. If lying is a sin that you struggle with, don't put yourself in a spot where you feel comfortable lying. Don't put yourself in a spot where you feel comfortable gossiping with somebody else. Don't put yourself in a spot where you feel comfortable whatever the next thing is, whatever that spot is for you. Keep yourself away from it. Make no provision. This is your responsibility. You remember that the strange woman that's in Proverbs chapter number 7. Talked about how she looked out the window of my house and I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a youth man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. What was he doing there? He was tempted because he was there. That's when the woman caught him. It's because he went to the place where he knew there could be temptation. Pastor, I didn't put that magazine there. Pastor, I didn't ask that woman to be nice to me. Pastor, I didn't do that. You know what? He shouldn't have been there to begin with. He shouldn't have been involved with that to begin with. So you need to make sure that we understand our responsibility. Make no provision for the flesh. You know, whatever it can be. And there's a lot of different things in our lives we could talk about. But we need to understand that it's our responsibility to make no provision for the flesh. Prayer. A man was praying with his pastor at the altar one time. He prayed the prayer that the pastor heard many times before. He says, Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. And the pastor interrupted and prayed Lord, kill the spider. Get rid of the spider. Get rid of the sin. Don't let these things bother us. If the TV is what bothers you, you know what? There's no law. You have to put a TV in your house. If there's a TV in your room that bothers you, get it out of your room. Don't ever watch it when nobody else is around. The computer's the problem. Put a password on it with your wife or with somebody you trust that can be there and watch it. Whatever the problem is, don't make any provision for the flesh. Let's continue on. Next thing, the Bible says, flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. You know, what does that tell us to do? It tells us if we're something that's going to lust us, we see something, run away from it. Don't hang around and try to preach against it. Don't hang around and try to debate somebody with it. Don't hang around. It means get away from it. If there's some type of thing that is tempting in your life, put an end to it. Get far away from it. That's what it's saying. Flee youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hey, Pastor, I don't understand why I can't just do this a little bit. There's nothing wrong with doing a little bit. It says flee from it. Run from it. I told you before, I gave you a little testimony this morning about God calling me to preach, and there was things I had to get out of my life. One of the things that God said to me that you need to get rid of was sports. I made sports a god. I love watching football, and I love watching basketball, and I love being part of sports. I love talking about it with my friends. You might say, that's stupid. Well, you drink cappuccinos. I think that's stupid. So, that's what tempted me back then, and that's what tempted me. That might not tempt you, but that tempted me. And that occupied my mind, occupied my time. And the Lord said, get rid of it. And for a year, I didn't have anything to do with sports. I had friends that talked about it. And I didn't see the game. I didn't bemoan myself. I said, and the Lord helped me as I conformed to what the Lord wanted. The Lord allowed me to see His will. Amen. And see, as a Christian, it didn't mean that, hey, cut back on it. It was something that bothered me. You know what I had to do? I had to turn it off. I had to get rid of it. Now, the Lord has allowed me to come back to it. The Lord has led me in the right segments to be able to watch portions of it. But no longer am I devastated if I don't see a game. No longer does it break my heart if my team wins or lose. Now, I'll cheer as good as anybody else. But if they lose, guess what? It's just a game. And you know what? Before, it was something I was passionate about. Now I want to be passionate about God, not something like that. Flee youthful lust. It's not worth it. And it's going to hurt your cause to Christ. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Last couple things, really quickly. Strengthen the inner man. Strengthen the inner man. What's your responsibility? Your responsibility is make no provision to the flesh. Flee youthful lust. And the Bible tells us to strengthen the inner man. Means that we need to build up the spiritual side. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. How do we strengthen our inner man? We do some spiritual exercises. We do some spiritual weightlifting. How do we do that? We pray. We read our Bibles. We witness. We do what we're supposed to do. We memorize our Bible. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. That means when the temptation comes, you don't have to feel bad about being tempted. We're all tempted. But if you are walking in the Spirit, if you're going the way you're supposed to, you're not going to fulfill that lust of the flesh. You're not going to give in to that because you want to do what God wants you to do. Remember, God's word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. That is spiritual exercise. That is lifting weights. That is making your body stronger. That is making your, you know, we see people out there. We see people like Mr. Bateman that's all big and strong. You shake Mr. Jack's hand, you feel like you're going to die. I mean, you know, those guys aren't weaklings like me. And you know, these are guys that are strong, and there's some other men that are strong in the church. Why did they get that way? It's because they've done things to make themselves strong. They do work, or they work out and things like that that makes them strong. And you know why? They've done exercise. That's the type of spiritual exercise we need to have, a strong spiritual side. And we need to weaken the old man. Weaken the old man. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. We need to stop feeding the old man. Now, some of us can see that we've been fed really good lately. Can't we? I mean, some of us can. We can look at certain people and say, they've been eating good. And you can look at other people and they say, man, I just want to buy them a Dairy Queen Blizzard because they need to put some weight on. Doesn't it make you sick that they're just skinny? You know, that's, you know, there are some people you say they need to lose, and they need to stop feeding something. And there's some other people you say, you need to feed, you need to eat. And that's what it's talking about here. Don't feed the flesh. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the spiritual things. Yes. Don't feed the flesh. Don't give into it. If TV is the problem, don't keep on watching it. Give it up. Have no TV week. Have no TV year. Whatever it is that you need. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the spirit. Christian, tonight, we will all face temptation. We need to understand our enemy. Devil, he is good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. He's willing to take his time to be able to take you down. He wraps things up in a pretty package. He gives you little bits to get you hooked. And then someday you look back and say, how did I get here? I never thought I would be this way by just having this. We need to understand your God. He does give you a way out. If you've started down a road, or even if you're tempted to go down a road, look for that way of escape tonight. Don't leave this place. God's speaking to your heart. Get it right tonight. And last but not least, understand your responsibility. Understand your responsibility. Make no provision for the flesh. Flee the youthful lust. That's what the Bible says. Don't even start. Run away from it. Run right to God. Strengthen the inner man. Weaken the flesh. Feed the inner man. Weaken those things of the flesh. And then I think we could have a good handle on how to tame the giant of temptation. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord.